that by your name every stronghold can be broken. We thank you that by your name we are saved. We thank you that by your name we are changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Title for this morning, Always Enough for Everyone. Always Enough for Everyone. Have you ever taken a chance in life that could negatively affect your resources, such as change jobs at a time when the economy was more difficult and unemployment was high? Have you ever moved your family at a bad time? You ever taken a chance by sending your kids to a private Christian school when you had little money? How about, Joe, how about going into business? I know you're in business. In fact, there are a number of people in the Fallbrook Church that are business people. They're self-employed. That's taking a chance. And it may seem that on surface that it doesn't seem wise or add up. But people do this every day. They take a chance. Could it be that these individuals who take these chances are persons who have not bought into the notion that there is not enough blessings to go around, so I'll stand fast? These individuals who are willing to take a chance believe, as I believe, that God's abundance is not limited. God's abundance is not limited. I say the title is Always Enough for Everyone. In fact, these individuals don't treat the world like a bad potluck. Now you say, what is a bad potluck? That's a potluck where people in the front of the line load up their plates so that those in the back have very little to eat. A bad potluck is when everyone races over to the dessert table first. Oh, help me, Lord, help me. And my mother says that when people act this way, and this was her expression, you're acting as though you are not used to anything. Now, I know that's not good grammar, but that's how my mother expressed that. The truth is, Fallbrook, that there's always enough for everyone. Can you say amen? I believe that, and I'm going to share with you why I believe that. One of the myths that cause us to react in a limited fashion is our idea of overpopulation. What did I say, everybody? Overpopulation. That particular idea affects us. Many feel that overpopulation causes hunger around the world. And maybe we take that view because there's 6 billion people on this planet. And there's 77 million that are born every year. And the UN has estimated that by the year 2050, there'll be 9.3 billion people on planet Earth. Maybe that's why we feel we have to get it and hold on to it. And they say of that population growth that they'll reside primarily in 6 countries. What do you think most of the growth in population? Can anyone guess, other than who were in the first service, what those countries, what would be number one? China, that's a good guess, but that's not number one. India, that's exactly right. 21% of that 3 billion that will increase in the next 25 years or more will be in India. China is number two, only 12%. Then Pakistan and Nigeria and Indonesia and then Bangladesh. Well, no wonder people believe there's not enough. What about not just overpopulation, but what about overcrowding, world density? I was surprised when I looked up these figures to find out that Russia only had 8 people per square kilometer, a very low density rate. United States, 31, which is not bad. There's a lot of land still in this nation. You wouldn't know it by listening to others, but there's still a lot of land in this nation. Who do you think would be one of the most dense populations in the world? Care to guess? I think I heard India. Come on, give me some guesses. Throw them out there. I heard the answer. Someone said the answer. Bangladesh is the number one. Bangladesh, you got there so quick. It's the number one. 975 people per square kilometer. But yet the gross national product ranks only 53. When you look at some of those things, you can almost figure out where trouble spots will be in the future. Japan, second on the list, 337 people per square kilometer. And India, 312, close behind. Well, you say, I don't care. You haven't convinced me that there's enough. I don't care about population. I don't care about density. There's not enough. But I want to tell you, there's always enough. You see, the issue is not about enough. The issue is how we use our resources. In fact, if I might share with you the facts, the World Resource Institute of Washington, D.C. says this: food production has more than kept pace with global population and growth. We don't have a problem of enough resources. It's how we use our resources. In fact, it goes on to say, on the average food supplies, they are 24% higher per person than in 1961. And the real prices are down 40%. Well, I'm not convinced. Why is it then that 790 million people in developing countries are chronically undernourished? Two-thirds of them reside in Asia and Pacific regions. And almost a billion people go to bed hungry tonight. And you say there's more than enough. Explain that to me. Even in the richest nation in the world, the U.S. Department of Agriculture reports that 38.2 million American households suffer from hunger. What a tragedy in our nation. And guess what states have the highest rates of hunger? Give me some guesses. Throw some guesses out there. West Virginia, good guess. Ohio, good, another good guess. Mississippi. Mississippi didn't even show up on the chart. Detroit? Michigan, no. Kentucky. Number one, I'll say it before you, California. Most hunger is in California. We're number one. I'm reading from the report. I didn't make this up. I didn't know this before I did my homework. Texas is next, Arkansas, Missouri, North Carolina, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and South Carolina. Who would have thought? The nation's bright spot, they say, is Oregon. Oregon. That's nearby, so folk, let's go to Oregon, all right? There will be millions of individuals who will go in our nation whole days without anything to eat. What a tragedy. What an absolute tragedy. And the churches and the charities are strained trying to serve the requests for food from their pantries. And today, the greatest requests are from working people. You know, at some point, our leaders of the world are going to have to give an account. It's not resources. The problem is about control, not abundance. I say that there is enough for everyone. One of the problems is even nations that grow their food and able to grow, because food has become a cash crop, it's not for eating, it's for selling it. The actual poor nations that grow the food, many of them are hungry because they're shipping the food for cash to richer nations. And guess what the richer nations do? I won't say what nation that is. The richer nations waste it. They throw it in the garbage can. Help us, Lord. We ought to be embarrassed by that. The problem is land use. How we use our land. You know how our land is used? Cattle. Now, I have nothing against cattle, but the cattle is raised for beef to sell to McDonald's. That's what they're doing it for. They're using the land to raise beef, and so they're not utilizing the land wisely. They're using the land to raise sugar and tobacco and tea and coffee. And I'm not making a moral judgment on those things, even though I have issues with that. The issue that I'm talking about is that they're using the land for that when it could be used to grow crops for people to eat. When there's more than enough. And that started in the 16th century in Europe, when landowners wanted more land, so they pushed the peasants off their land and they started raising sheep for wool because of the invention of the loom. It was money to be made. And we follow that principle today. Land is not interested. We're not interested in feeding the world as much as making money. I'm coming to the scripture in just a minute. Stay with me. So it's no accident. And I would say that I believe here in Fallbrook, because I know that we have, I'll say it again, we have individuals who are in business. They are self-supporting. And I know that you understand this. I could probably call you out individually, but I know that you understand this. And I understand it. That if we put our hands in God's hands, there'll be more than enough. See, I think we have found that out. Joe, I know you found that because I've talked with you. I know you found, Dan, I know you found that out because I've talked. I know that they know And I know that there are others in this church that have businesses that understand that. If you put your hand in God's hand, you'll have more than enough. Cooks, do you know that? Do you know that? If you put your hand in God's hand, you're going to have more than enough. And so it's no accident that the miracle that's listed in the Bible, in all four Gospels, it's the only miracle that's listed in all four of the Gospels. Of the 35 miracles that are listed, there's only three miracles that have to do with eating and drinking. And so I want you to turn to John, the scripture that was read so well by Evan. John, the 6th chapter. The feeding, everyone, before you even get there, you know, the feeding of the 5,000. I want to show you that there's more than enough. Now start at verse 5. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, now listen to this. The crowd had been with Jesus all day, and they were hungry. In fact, Jesus was hungry. In fact, Desire of Ages said he was famished. He was so famished that the disciples said, Jesus, let's get away from here. I know you're tired. But you guess what Jesus said? Jesus says, we got to get these people something to eat. He cared about their physical needs. Look what it has to say. This is what Jesus says. He said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? Now, come. Now, there was no Vons around. Who was he taught? He was trying to teach them through testing that there's always enough. You see, the disciples didn't believe that because look what says next. And he asked this only to test him, for he had already had in mind what he was going to do. It's like when you're trying to, if you ever work with your kids and you were putting together some toys and they're fairly simple and you know how to do it, but you'll ask them the question anyway about do you know how to put this together? You want them to think about it first. You know how to do it already. Jesus knew. In fact, Jesus was the answer. But he wanted the disciples to see that. And look what the Bible goes on and says. This is what Philip had to say. This is disciples. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Did the disciples get it? They did not get it. They're just like the world that says there's not enough, and they rush in there to get it to make sure that they don't lose it. The Bible says, then another disciple, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. And I've always heard this preached toward the lad that had the lunch. And that's a good way to approach it. But really, when you look at this, it doesn't say much about the faith of the disciples. For it goes on, it says, here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many? The disciples, again, showing that there's not enough. Then Jesus says, have them go over to Albertson's and pick up a couple of bags of corn chips, get some tomatoes and lettuce. Come on. Is that what it says? No, Jesus says, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in the place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. In fact, it only lists the men. Do you know that there were women and children? fact, they didn't have much respect for women and children. That's why it didn't matter that it was the boy that had lunch, because they didn't think much about children. And that's what that whole expression was. And so there could have been, depending on what commentary you look at, it could have been 12,000 people. Do you know? I'll tell you this in a minute. So Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the, what everybody? With the fish. And when they had all had enough to eat, that went right over. Did you get that? When they all had enough, said to the disciples, gather the pieces that are left over and let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled how many baskets, everybody? 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Now that's a miracle. That is a miracle. You know what, Jesus is always enough. I believe, I have nothing to go on. Jesus took the bread and the fish in his hand, and he gave it to his disciples, who gave it to the people. The disciples came to Jesus. Jesus broke a piece of bread and a piece of fish and gave it to each of the disciples. They went and distributed it to the people. They came back to Jesus. Jesus broke off another piece and gave it to them. They went back out to the people. How many times did they do that? When did they get it? When did they get it? I can just imagine that after about maybe the 10th time, they started thinking, and you could hear one of the disciples shout, hallelujah! Because they finally get it. That everything that I need is in his hand. Everything is right there. In fact, it's enough. Do you know if it had been 100,000 people, Jesus would have had enough? All you have to do is come back to him over and over. Over and over, I was, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Do you know how often we've come back to God year after year after year to get our mortgage payment? Come on. When a few days before, it wasn't there. In fact, you can't even remember how many times God has blessed you over and over and over again. Everything that I need, he has it. And he just keeps breaking it off. He just keeps breaking it off. He keeps giving it to you. And then you come to church and throw a 50 cent in the plate. Or throw a dollar in the plate. Help us, Lord. And he's been blessing you for years. In fact, there's always enough. I know I'm talking to the wrong church. Y'all so prosperous, you've never had any of those issues. My God is good. Can you say amen? My God is real good. There's always enough. And guess what? When Jesus was giving like that,
You know, when you give material things, folk will love you. And so when Jesus got through giving and they had 12 baskets left over, they were going to make him king. He didn't even have to run for president. They were going to make him president right there on the spot. Just promise a whole lot of stuff, right? Isn't that what the politicians do? Don't they promise you? And don't we go for it? They were going to make Jesus king. But if you think that Jesus is dealing only with material, then you've missed the point. Do you know that there's more than enough regarding our spiritual life? And if there's some place you need to be spiritually, is God enough? Can he take care of your needs spiritually? Why do we need to struggle with some of the things we have been struggling with year after year after year after year after year? When we come to him every Sabbath and touch his hand, it's an embarrassment to Christianity for us not to get the victory over some of the things we need to get the victory over. It's an embarrassment. When we touch his hand week after week after week after week, my God is good. Can you say amen? More than enough. There's a passage I want you to just look it up in your spare time just so you can. 2 Corinthians 9:8. I'll read it, but look, it says, "And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work." I thank God for his blessings. Do you know what we do sometimes? We think that we can trick God. We think that his compassion can't be that strong, that his grace can't be that loving and faithful. And so we try to trick him. We say, if I'll know what I'll do, I'll work harder. I'll be good enough for his grace. And that's just like the Pharisees. We say that his love can't possibly be that strong. And we think that there are some things that we do that God cannot forgive us for. Do you know that God's grace his love is so abundant that he can love everyone on planet Earth, even those who are different from us? Do you know God can even love our enemies? What a God we serve. There's a story I shared in the first service about James. He was born in Hamilton, Missouri. Derek Johnson writes about this in his book, The Wonders of America. He talks about James, who was raised in a home where there were 12 children. He was raised on a farm, and he worked 6 days on that farm. And then he went with his dad to church on Sunday. His dad was kind of an itinerant preacher. He preached for a small church
with no pay. As James grew, he got his first job working in a general store. And so he finally, in working at that store, saved up enough money to purchase his own butcher shop. And the way you make it in that day was you had to have a big client in order to make it. There was a fine hotel in town, and if he could just get that client, everything would be all right. He would have enough. But the hotel wanted him to do something that his principles would not allow him to do. He was supposed to bring to the head cook a bottle of fire water, alcohol. And that was not according to his principles. His principles were higher than that. So, didn't get the client and his business failed right away. So he held his head down and he walked away, dejected, because there's not enough. Not enough customers, not enough things to do. Is that what happened, you think? No, he didn't. He started another business. That's the way business people do. They just start another one. You can't stop them. They can go out of business 10 times, and you look around, number 11, they're right there. They don't give up, and so he did not give up and started his own store in Wyoming. He called it the Golden Rule Store because he believed in the Golden Rule. And in those days, credit was high, and people paid high prices, but he thought he would do something different. He would use the Golden Rule. He would have a formula: if you pay cash, we'll lower the prices and make things attractive for you as he could possibly be. And so he changed the name of the store eventually as his stores grew. And in 1927, giving you a time frame, he managed to have 750 retail stores in 45 states. He allowed his managers to buy interest in his stores and share the profits with them. James believed in Christian ethics and hard work as it relates to business. And I've always wondered how in the world that this company still exists today. That has baffled me because I don't find them any better than Sears. But I don't know, he has his name up there, and you can't miss it. You can't miss J.C. Penney to save your life. He has 1,700 stores. I don't know how they're still in business until I read that. Folk, there is more than enough. The NBA Players Association has a program called Feeding of the 5,000, where once a year they go to Oakland and they feed 5,000 families. Isn't that wonderful? They go to Oakland once a year and they feed 5,000 families. I want to let you know, God has more than enough. Reza, I don't know what's going on, but I know God always has enough. You can be sure of that. You can be sure of that. I'm not sure what's going on, but he has more than enough. Any of you have issues, anything you're dealing with, you don't think God can handle that? Yes, he can. Struggling with something spiritually that you've been struggling with all your life, struggling with habits that you know you shouldn't have, do you know God has more than enough?
He always wants to bless you. Won't you finally accept his blessings? Both physically, we get them, we take them easy. But what about the spiritual? Isn't it time we finally, once and for all, accept it? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. What a great God you are. We live in a world, Lord, that challenges us, makes us think that we have to be in a hurry to get it all and just hold it. We live in a world, Lord, that challenges us spiritually and makes us think that we can't let go those things that so easily beset us. As if, Lord, you cannot bless us. We even struggle, Lord. We struggle with, Seventh-day Adventists struggle with the issues of Sabbath. And we wonder in 2006, can we still hold on to it? We struggle with so many issues of the 21st century. And if we're not careful, we'll buy into the notion that your blessings and your power and your grace is limited. But it's not. Your grace and your power are unlimited. There is absolutely nothing you can't do or will not do for us to save us. Lord, help us to finally get it right and recognize that it's not about you having the answer. It's about you being the answer. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you. We claim victory. Do you want to claim victory in your life? Raise your hand right now. You want to claim victory in your life? I don't know what it is. Raise your hand right now. Let the angel record it in Jesus' name. Amen.